Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Unified Caring, Caring Moments podcast. UCA Caring knows no bounds. We endeavor to be wherever caring is needed and help create caring communities everywhere. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter at Unified Caring and check out our website, www.unifiedcaring.org, to see the many ways you personally can benefit by becoming a member. And now, here's the show.
Hi, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to Caring Moments 2020, sponsored by Unified Caring Association. Today's very special guest is my good friend, Lane Michelle, who we're going to talk about living in these extremely challenging times. Many of us, you know, feel additional stress, maybe some confusion, depression, anxiety, even isolation with how the world is spinning. And sometimes it actually feels like it's just spinning out of control. So it is actually a great time to be alive during these challenging times as it exposes itself all at once. And just when you think, that pressure valve is getting some much needed relief, then something happens and pinches it all off again. And so our guest Lane is going to talk about this wild roller coaster ride we're on. Good morning, Lane. How are you today?
Good morning, Karen, and everybody else listening. I'm doing fantastic today. Yesterday was a roller coaster day, so you know it's like I'm living what everybody else is living. It's like one day to the next. It just goes up and down and all over the place. You're absolutely right. What a roller coaster ride we're on, huh?
Right. And sometimes it's moment by moment, sometimes you even get the luxury of a day.
Well, that's true. That is true, too. I mean, we've had, everybody's been dealing since March with the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. And, of course, that has its waves. We're going through, waves now again with it, with schools closing, had a major impact. Number of our staff members and members of the association have jobs still and, you know, work at home along with being a teacher at home or lost jobs and trying to find something. And then also schools closed. That creates a whole different dynamic. And then we can't, you know, the racial tensions that have exploded and gone through their cycles, yet another cycle with everything else going on. And guess what? Elections are coming up, right, Karen?
That'll add more.
It's a totally different world. Just trying to shop and get groceries, wearing masks and social distancing. Fundamentally, one of the things that we just got to acknowledge up front, I think, is that as human beings, you know, we need touch, we need connection, we need relationships, we need to breathe. And so it's a very fascinating time we're in where we're supposed to be, you know, 6 feet, a couple meters away from, you know, everybody else. And we wear masks, which, you know, admittedly kind of, you don't get your full breath all the time for wearing a mask. And so those two things even can create stress, even if everything else is rolling fine. You know, we're hearing many elements. We're experiencing many elements of that roller coaster you're talking about, that pinch it all off again effect. You said you just introduced it so well.
Right. Well, thank you for that. It is, you know, I have my own thoughts on the mask, and I don't know how it relates to the norm, but I'm not a mask wearer unless they absolutely won't let me in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't wear the mask. And my reasons are the research that's been done. You're breathing in your own CO2. That's not actually very healthy.
Right.
I saw a person, they're not sealed, right? So when you think of a doctor who wears the mask, he wears it in surgery right, to prevent his fluids from dropping into you, right? It doesn't, but you know, it doesn't, viruses are so microscopic. You get them in your, you can absorb them through your eyes, you can absorb them through any kind of cuts, and masks didn't work with the flu pandemic back in, what was it, 1917, 1918, it didn't work. And you're not getting your full breath either, and it's, and when you do, it's not a healthy one.
Well, that's what I really kind of more focus on, because there's still, the science is, you know, is one thing, but the other thing is there's so much fear and there's anxiety. There's a number of people are adamant that mask wearing must happen. Others are adamant that it must not happen. And so, you know, that just whatever the answer is, it just adds to the stress as well and to the challenges we have. And that's that's really the thing here to focus on.
That is so very true.
Yeah, and I think so. It's acknowledging the stress is actually the first step towards, you know, realizing that the pressure valve is being pushed.
that's the truth, isn't it? You know, but then when you acknowledge it, then what does it represent? What does the mask actually represent?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Right.
Does
exactly.
it represent
exactly.
a fear or does it represent mm-hmm. health?
Right.
So
exactly. And
you got two sides of your own spectrum, right?
Exactly.
Am I afraid that I'm going to
exactly.
catch something or am I protecting myself not really, for my health? And if that's the case, why are they letting out 10,000 prisoners if the masks work? But that's a whole other topic for another day.
That just doesn't make any sense to me.
But, you know, some other time. But, you know,
In terms of soothing the stress, which really, you know, kind of where we got to go with this, because there's so many offshoots to what the anxiety and the fear and depression, confusion, all these things that are part of life like never before. I'm actually pretty optimistic that one of the things that's happening is we're finding new ways, new rhythms. I just saw this morning the jobs reports. There's so many new jobs that are in demand and different kinds of jobs in demand, and retooling, reskilling is going to be and is supported. You know, there all these things are opening so many other avenues, including awareness of what we have to do for our own self-care. And the fact that a big, big thing we're seeing is that our communities need more care. The communities need more connection and attention. And so really in terms of soothing the stress, I just want to offer the listeners that there's two main points to soothing stress, to dealing with this time. The first is caring for yourself. And the second is getting outside yourself. Now, that, I mean, Karen, that sounds like an oxymoron or a conundrum of some kind, right?
However,
yeah, I mean, what
I get
Lane
what you're talking about, but why don't you explain that, my friend?
Yeah, I will explain. Yeah, so you know, Karen and Lane both say, you know, that, hey, care better for yourself and get outside yourself. Well, I mean, here's the first part. If we aren't really aware of what we need in terms of our body and health, our mind, our emotions, very important, the work and relationships we have, they all may need attention. But where do you start? You start with one of those areas, something that comes to mind, like our members, UCA members have a tool, a self-assessment, which goes through all five of those areas. Five questions in five areas. You can go through it very quickly and score yourself whether, you know, certain things never occur, rarely occur, or frequently occur. Like, for instance, the body category. There are five questions. You score yourself on a 1 to 5 from never occurring to frequently. Eat healthy food. Do you eat healthy foods? Second question, do you drink enough water? The third, the exercise for 20 minutes a day, four times a week at least. The fourth, do you wear clothing that helps you feel good about yourself? And the fifth, do you have some quiet time? Those five turn out to be the key indicators of whether or not you are going to be resilient, you're going to be able to, your body is going to move through in a healthy way when you're dealing with stress. When you score yourself,
right.
Never occurred to me or never do it, well, there you go. That's where you start. So,
well,
you know,
here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a question on one of your tools assessments. When you said, mm-hmm. your question is, do you get enough water, right?
Yeah.
Does does coffee-flavored water count? You know, because I like it with my coffee made with water. Does that count?
No, unfortunately, Karen, you already know the answer to that. I know you do.
You're talking about pure water, not coffee.
We're talking about drinking enough water. Now we're in summer, so there actually are good ways of getting water through watermelon, fresh fruits. Lettuce has high content, celery, lots of water. You can get water in a lot of ways. But what we're talking about here is drinking, those 4 to 6 glasses of water a day.
Right.
You know, we are water. We are, you know, if you don't know this, listeners don't know this, we're about 70% water in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're born, we're like 90% water. And
exactly.
By the way, you die when you drop below about 50% water. So,
right.
You know, this question of do you drink enough water, that is an exchange. And, Karen, you were hinting towards this too, pure, fresh water, that the water we take in, the purer we make it, the more that purity becomes part of every cell in our body, everything that functions. So
exactly.
That is you zeroed right into actually what I usually tell people. Out of all those five questions, water. Start there. You know, make sure you drink enough water. And
exactly.
You know, get yourself a water bottle like we have in our Caring Community store. You know, we have water bottles that, you know, show how much progress you're making towards drinking your water for the day. You know, just whatever tool it is, that's a great place to start.
Well, do you know, I just want to add just a sidebar comment to that. There's a scientist, Yamoto, I think his name is. He did a series on why water is so important in the body because of what you pointed at is how much water we are, and water is a reactive element. So
Yamoto
to that stress.
Yes.
It reacts to that soothing. So water really should be the number one important thing that, you know, for your health, that you do make sure that you take in. And it's so easy to lose it through, you know, sweating, bodily fluids, you know, whatever. And I actually think that's like the number one of my tools. For me personally, that's the number one of my tools.
Okay, there you go. And then that's where Karen starts.
Exactly.
It really is. And for each of us, we're all different. So we may find emotions is an area to begin. We may find that, you know, social and family are relationships and others. So look at these five areas of body, mind, emotions, your work you do, and then the relationships you have, because they all need various levels of attention. Start there. Pick one of the areas, one thing to do. And that itself begins to work on your stress because you're taking action to care for yourself. If you need some extra inspiration, go to any of our publications, our blogs. There's a tremendous amount of material. You go to unifiedcaring.org and click on the COVID-19 page. There's direct links to all kinds of helpful ideas, inspirational ideas for self-care, for more than self-care, but self-care is a part of it. So, that's the first place to start. Now, here's the ironic part. To really soothe stress, to really move through, you got to get outside yourself. And so, you got some good activity going for yourself. That's where you start. But the next most important step, get outside yourself. And that may be taking care of family. It may be taking care of your neighbor. There may be, you know, the seniors who can't go out in public, if nothing else, for fear of catching COVID and the consequences of that. Or they're in a senior home and they don't get as much visitors. They need attention. Well, how about if you do something like one of our sponsored, you know, partners here? We sponsor Love for the Elderly. Write an anonymous love letter. Send it to Love for the Elderly. They'll make sure that they get those letters. Or how about, you know, a story of one of our members, Ashley, shared, and it's on the website. It's putting a community into caring action. She found out through a Facebook post that a family of, I think it was three children with the husband and wife, they were behind on rent. The job was lost, but the child had a very serious illness. They were in desperate need. And what happened was, the story told in there is, just by listening, by responding to a Facebook direct message, it led to families coming together. And eventually, this family was able to stay in their home. They got the daughter taken care of. They had a holiday. That was all started from one individual getting outside of herself and then causing the community to respond.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a beautiful story, and I wish, you know, that's something that I should personally take the rein on. And, you know, when I see it, and if we all did it, when we saw it, what a better place it would be. Because unity for our, you know, neighbors, our community, is so important. It is so important. And making sure we all take care of one another. I think that's a beautiful thing that Ashley did. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean,
kudos.
She's one of my heroes. I mean, because it just goes to show all of us have the ability to step up and do something. But I get this question also, with people will say, well, how do I know where to step up? I say, well, all right, just put your intention out that you're going to, and then listen and watch, because you know what? It's going to show itself to you. And the moment that you get that direct message, or you get a reply on a post, or you're walking down the street and you see a senior walking outside her home and a little feeble, those are signs. Take some action. Don't just walk by. Don't just ignore the direct message. Take the next step, and then the next step after that, and so on. Yeah, here's an example. We have one of our members in the association, unfortunately, did contract COVID-19, a younger man. He never thought he'd have any kind of challenge. He ended up being on a ventilator for well over a month.
Oh my goodness.
You can imagine the rehabilitation needed and everything else. Well, his wife reached out to us, and we were in the mode of intentionally making sure we support our members in whatever way that's needed. We were listening. It came through. We made sure that the benefits they have were put in as much, all the force they could to help them out. But we also listened to the member's wife, who just had no one to talk to. And our staff became a listening ear and supporting to her. And that ended up being a huge value. We also sent a whole care package to the family. And just wrapped them up. We stood ready. We anything that they needed, we stepped forward that we could. That was our way of doing exactly what I'm talking about, getting outside ourselves. So, you know, Oh, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, one of the things that I absolutely love about Unified Caring is that it's not just words. Every single person who is involved with Unified Caring, I don't mean just the staff, I mean everybody who is involved in some way, shape, or another, whether it's through the children or the animals or the reforestation or the elderly, every single person walks their talk. It's not a bunch of bluster. And the people that I know personally, staff-wise, with UCA, are some of the most incredible, heartfelt people you will ever meet. So congratulations on creating such an incredible environment that does not just talk. It walks this talk. It reaches out. It makes sure, you make sure that everybody knows who you are with these abilities through some of these programs. But more importantly, when the people reach back out to you, you're there to lend a hand. And that's really few and far between. So,
yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Karen. That's a hallmark of who we have to be. And you can imagine with, we have, over 165,000 members across the country, and we get so many varied needs, and there's so many different kinds of people, which I love the diversity of who we are and what we do, what we offer as benefits. And one of the things we offer all of our members to know that a little bit of the fund, the money that are dues to be a part of the association and get the benefits that they've selected, a little bit of that money goes to those care projects you just described, children, animal reforesting, and the elderly. And boy, talk about another way of getting outside yourself. You know, every one of our members as a part of the association is a part of making contributions. For instance, one of the things that we as an association do, we've turned our attention this year in particular on children, and boy, what a time children need help. But we haven't, when we say children, we've got things we do all the time. But in terms of our caring, the two big areas that the association is focused on are children's hunger and aftercare for children rescued from sex trafficking. And the numbers are staggering in terms of how many children get into sex trafficking. The numbers are staggering on how many children go hungry. 1 in 6 children in this country go hungry. That is ridiculous. That doesn't make
absolutely
any sense at
ridiculous
all to me.
Right.
Well, one of the things is there's so many things behind what's going on with hunger and certainly the sex trafficking elements. We as an association know we can begin, again, getting outside ourselves, doing something. Where to start? Well, it's aftercare. We have, as part of the association, fantastic emotional healing and caring support tools. And so we're deploying those at SunBuddy for children up to 12 years old, and then MoonBud for teens and adults. We're deploying those tools to help both with the hunger and aftercare of sex trafficking. And how does that relate to it? Because there's so much emotional trauma that these children are going through in all of these aspects, different in so many ways, but nobody's really doing an effective job of getting tools in their hands, their caregivers, their family, or their foster family's hands. That's what we're working to do. So we've just created a new sponsorship relationship with Feed the Children as one of those places where we're deploying those tools. We also have new sponsorships with organizations providing aftercare for children rescued out of sex trafficking. And we're deploying those emotional tools as a first step, but that's not going to be it. We're going to do more and more and more. That's what we're talking about. Get outside yourself. Be a part of the story of the association, if you remember. Create your own story. In every community, we're calling on people. In every community, start a movement. Look for where children need help or animals need help or the elderly need help or the environment needs attention. Or just look what your neighbors need and do something. Because as the biggest part of helping us be healthier and deal with the stress, the anxiety, depression, everything that's going on and going to keep going on is to take care of yourself, but get outside yourself and take some action.
Right. I agree. And the numbers are absolutely staggering with children rescued from sex trafficking. And those numbers are only going to grow as more and more of these pipelines are discovered and shut down. And so that's going to need a whole other as it continues to grow. I really do hope so many of us step up and help out with whatever needs that they have, whether if it's, you know, notebooks for, because I know some of the places they have the children, you know, write diaries, and I know they need clothes and
mm-hmm.
food and
mm-hmm.
all, and, you know, mental health help. And I can imagine that as that grows, that those numbers are going to just become astronomical, you know. I pray for that. I do. I pray for that more and more children are rescued from sex trafficking.
Yeah, absolutely. And we really, I mean, I'll speak for myself, too. I didn't understand enough. But again, when something comes to attention, when you start understanding, we don't, you know, put our head in the ground. Yeah, there's a lot of things to deal with, but this is something that just should not happen. It's not our values. It's not what our world, we need a world safe for our children. And boy, this is the opposite of that. So because we care, we're stepping up and taking action. And everybody can. Everybody listening can reach out to your organizations that are working locally. Reach out to us at the association. We'll connect you with either the programs we're doing or, you know, help you connect with the organizations doing aftercare or rescue or policy work. There's a lot of policy change to support these children to have a life after being rescued, or how about preventing it even from happening? So more and more intention has got to be put on this. It's got to stop. This is not the world that we need to live in where this happens. And so, you know, that's if somebody says I'm on my pedestal, well, then great. Come up and join me, because this is ridiculous. It's not where we need to be. That's the kind of thing when I feel like I need to get out of myself and I've got anxiety or stress, I want to have anxiety, stress about doing more for these kinds of issues, and that's getting outside myself.
Right, right. Well, along with, I know this isn't a comfortable topic either, but normalizing pedophilia goes hand in hand with sex trafficking, and that absolutely has to stop.
Yeah, it's all one and the same.
It is.
I don't believe it has a place in our world going forward, and I hope everybody else feels that and doesn't put their head in the sand. You know, this is going to take some real commitment to change this behavior and make the world safe for our children.
Exactly. I totally 100% agree with you, Lane. Now, we got just a couple minutes left here.
Okay.
What are the benefits of joining and becoming a member? Because I know it is very affordable to become a member, $15.95, just under $16 a month, or
$99
for
a
lifetime membership.
Yeah, just $15 flat, $15 a month to start. I mean, that's a good way to try it. Try it out. Try $15 a month. And if you want to do a lifetime membership, that's just $99.95. $100
exactly.
For a lifetime membership. That's just the basic fundamental membership in this association. And what that gets you is a whole lot of benefits for self-care, certainly. That's, you know, inspiration, these self-assessments talking about, health tools and tips and valuable elements around body, mind, emotions, and relationships.
Right.
It also helps with, you know, if you're caring for seniors in your family or you're a caregiver, there are, you know, benefits there. For children, there's benefits that are there to help teach caring, to help know what safe apps or mobile apps are out there for children. There are just a range of benefits there, with some benefits for pets. Also, of course, savings benefits, savings on buying at national retailers and pet savings and, you know, those.
Mm-hmm.
So those are basic benefits. You also can choose to have additional benefits, too, or for medical discount or insurance-related type of benefits that can be can be added on to the membership. So, but
and
fundamentally,
Lane,
base membership,
what's the website
get in
again? What's the what?
Unified,
yeah, right. Go ahead.
Caring.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. We're going to be cut off in just about 10 seconds. So I'm trying to watch the
unified,
clock. Didn't mean to be rude. What's the website, babe?
UnifiedCaring.org. We're a nonprofit organization. UnifiedCaring.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with me today, and I hope that you and I will have an opportunity to chat again really soon. Thank you so much for being here. And be sure to tune in next Thursday with our special guest, Lydia. I'm looking forward to that as well. Lane, thank you again. Enjoy the rest of your week. Keep doing the great work. You guys are top-notch. I appreciate all of you.
Thank you, Karen.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.